Praise the Lord. Let's open in prayer as we come around the Word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for leading us here tonight, for being with us and for showing us things that we need to know. And Lord, we ask that tonight you show us and open our hearts. We commit ourselves to hear from you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tonight we're looking at he that has God's word, or the word of God, should speak it faithfully. And we're going to look at some of the problems that we see in churches across this land, and in fact right across the world at the moment, because people haven't held to the word of God, and in particular held to the King James Bible as the pure word of God. There can be things that can come in to people's thinking that can destroy people's thinking. The Word of God is accurate, and it tells us what God says about things. Now that's good, isn't it? God has revealed to us what he wants us to know. And you can take the Bible and you can say, well, this is what God says, and the Bible is true. And you can understand through what God has revealed through his word various things that he wants you to know. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us that it is necessary food for the inner man or the heart. Let's have a look at Matthew 4, verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ here speaking. This is when he was tempted of the devil, that he gives an answer in verse 4, and it's something we can take hold of and understand as well. Matthew 4, verse 4 says, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." It tells us a couple of things. It tells us that the word of God is spiritual food. It also tells us that every word matters. God doesn't want any of his words to fall to the ground. So isn't it so very important, therefore, to have a Bible which has every word that God has revealed and put into the earth for us to take hold of? It's the way we live spiritually. The Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's something we quote quite a lot here. That's Romans 10, verse 17, and we should know that off by heart by now. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must have a hearing heart. We must have a heart that is open to God's word. And in fact, we must be in an environment where we can receive the word of God and it's being preached. The problems in today's churches is actually a repetition of what has happened in the past. The presence of unholiness and false words is an indication of devilish intrusion and deception. Let's have a look at what happened in the past. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. We're looking tonight at he that has God's word should speak it faithfully. And if we say, well, we've got the word of God, then we should speak it faithfully, accurately, truthfully, as the very word of faith. Looking at verses 1 and 2, first of all, of Jeremiah 23, this is the situation that the children of Israel faced. "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord." Now we must understand that God, the church, did not start by man. Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So Jesus is building the church, and it's made up of born-again people, the people of God. And God puts into the church various ministers. We can read about that. We know of what it says. Let's have a look at that. Just keep your finger in Jeremiah 23, because we want to see what pastors should be like, what ministers of God should be like. Should they be like what we just read, scattering and destroying type of people, or should they be people that are wanting the people of God to be nourished and strengthened? Well, let's have a look at Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, and we'll find out how the ministers of God are to be used by God in the church. Remember, I mentioned before that Jesus sees the church as very important because he said, I will build my church. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says, and he, that's talking about Jesus, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give them? Well, verse 12 tells us why he gave them. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means building up and strengthening. So we see it's for the perfecting of the saints. Not for the destruction, not for the scattering, which we read in Jeremiah 23, but for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. So there is work involved. The Bible talks about labouring. It talks about labouring in the word and doctrine. It talks about praying and so on. So we see there's the perfecting of the saints, there's the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. So the ministers of God, who, as we see in verse 11, God gives them, Jesus gives them, he gave, and then it gives a list of the various types of ministers, and there's others as well, like elders and deacons, you can also place in that category of the Lord giving to the body of Christ. And it's for a purpose. Verse 12 we see, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is why it's so very dangerous to stay away from a fellowship or not to partake of the church, because those who say, well, I can be a Christian, stay at home, are not biblical in their thinking or understanding there. Jesus said, I will build my church, and he also, we just saw, gives ministers or ministries to the body of Christ so that the various things can be done. Go back to Jeremiah 23, and we're looking at some of the problems that was encountered by the children of Israel. And they had pastors. In verse 1 and 2 we saw pastors that would destroy and scatter. Well, obviously these type of pastors are in it for themselves. They might be in it for money, for glory, for recognition or whatever. Certainly these type of pastors, even though they're meant to be feeding the people, they're not feeding the people correctly, are they? And what are they to feed the people? What did we see before they've got to feed the people? The Word of God. The Word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible talks about the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So it's very important to hear the preaching of the word, to get it in your heart and in your mouth. Praise the Lord. If you look at verse 11 and 12 of Jeremiah 23, it says, for both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. So we see even the prophet and the priest are profane. That tells us that they've compromised with the world. They've compromised with evil things. And in fact it says, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Well, what's the house of God today? The Bible says that the house of God is the church, and that's in the New Testament. The house of God is not necessarily a brick and mortar place. It's the church of where the people gather together, and that's the house of God. Here, people gather together, that's the house of God. And what do you expect in the house of God? You expect the house, in the house of God, the ministers of God to be feeding the people to be listening with hearts that are open to the Lord. You expect there to be edifying, you expect there to be working of the ministry. You expect there to be the Lord present and building up, and as we saw, as I said before, building the church, praise the Lord. That's what we expect. But you see, what the problem of the children of Israel had is they had ministers and ministries that were in fact counteracting and destroying and not doing the right things by them. If we have a look at also verses 28 and 29 of Jeremiah 23, 28 and 29, let's have a look at that. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the weak, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Here we see an insight into what God requires. If we have the word of God, and we say that we have the word of God, we have the word of God perfectly here in the King James Bible. If we say we have the word of God, God doesn't want us to add our own thinking into it. He wants us to take the word of God, and what does it say here in verse 28? He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Faithfully. Now that word faithfully means accurately, truthfully, consistently. And so what you would expect in a faith church, in a Bible-believing church, is for the word of God, if we're saying we've got the word of God, and I believe that, and if you're here you believe that too, we've got the word of God, then you want it spoken faithfully and accurately without error, because man shall not live by bread alone but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's what you want. You want to be fed spiritually, not so that you do nothing, but so that you take the word and you can walk the walk of faith. Edified in the body of Christ, you can do what God wants you to do in the body of Christ. Haven't got time to go through it tonight, but if you're a member in the body of Christ, you might be a foot or part of the foot. You know, you have a particular function. This is what the Lord wants you to do. He doesn't want you to do nothing. You don't get born again and then, oh, well, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven and that's it. No, you get born again. The Bible says we've been created unto good works. And we also looked on Sunday, the fact, let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, as believers in Christ, we get edified, we get fed, but then we do something with that word. We're not just hearers only, but we're doers of the word of God. Very, very important for us to understand that. Let's have a look at... keep your finger in Jeremiah 23 again, because we'll come back to that. Have a look at Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 32. Now, Paul the Apostle spent some time with churches as he established them, and he has some very clear direction for this particular church in Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 32. Let's have a look at what he has to say here. You know, if he spent time with churches, he would establish a church through his missionary journeys, and he didn't want the church that had been established, as soon as he went out the door, for it to disintegrate and to fall down. No, what he wanted was, and you'll see what he wanted here, Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 32. He wanted to do what we looked at before, the edifying of the body of Christ and so on. Verse 28 says, take heed, this is what Paul is saying, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. So who's put the ministers of God as overseers? The Holy Ghost, God himself, okay? To feed the church of God. That's what they're supposed to do, to feed the church of God. If they're not feeding the church of God, they're negligent. They're like the Jeremiah 23 people, scattering and destroying. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. God purchased the church with his own blood. That's Jesus Christ. We know as God manifest in the flesh. He purchased the church with his own blood. Does God think the church is important? Well, he purchased the church with his own blood. That's the ultimate price. God purchased the church with his own blood. Therefore, in God's eyes, it must be very important. It must be very important. It must be also very important to the Holy Ghost that he's put people to feed the church. Not just anything, but to feed the Word of God, the Word of faith which we preach. So let's continue on. That was verse 28. Verse 29, this is a prophecy that Paul speaks. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So he's about to depart and he's prophesying there's grievous wolves coming. Wolves in sheep clothing and things like that. You know, wolves attack the flocks of sheep. We know that. And he's talking about spiritually there'd be people that would come in and would be like the Jeremiah 23 pastors and priests and prophets. They wouldn't be doing the right thing. They wouldn't be feeding the church of God, but they would be destroying and scattering and doing the wrong things. Verse 30 says, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. What would be perverse things? Things not in line with the Bible. Things that are not going to be nourishing the people of God. So here Paul is saying, even of your own selves there will be men arise to draw away disciples after them. So it's all about them, isn't it? Okay. Verse 31 is the warning. Therefore watch. And I believe it's very applicable even now, today. But I don't think it's heeded very much. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone day and night with tears. So what was he doing? Paul was warning through preaching and through feeding the flock. Look, there is an enemy out there, and the enemy has agents which he'll send in against you because he doesn't want the church of God to be strong and powerful. He doesn't want the church of God to be a witness for Christ. He's going to send in agents which will come against you. But I'm warning you, he's saying, I'm warning you. But notice what he says in verse 32, and this is very, very important for us to see. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So what's able to build you up? The word of his grace. The word of God is very important for building you up. If we neglect the word of God, you're not going to be built up. We saw that it's spiritual food. We also saw from Jeremiah 23, he that hath the word of God should speak it faithfully. Faithfully. Praise the Lord. We see Paul, he gives the warning and he commends them to God and says, and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, that is set apart for God. So this is something that we can take hold of. God is saying that his word of grace is also able to build us up and to give us an inheritance even today. It hasn't stopped way back in the time of the New Testament churches, of the book of Acts. It's persisted right to today. Today, we can commend people to the word of God, which is able to build them up and to give them an inheritance. Praise the Lord. So God is after the edifying of people. And he's deliberately set godly ministers, godly overseers in the church to feed the flock, to help in the building up, to get people so that they're strengthened. And when they're being fed, they're not being fed just any old thing or rubbish. They're being fed the word of God to be spoken faithfully. Praise the Lord. Well, let's have a look back at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah 23, if you kept your finger in there. Let's look at verse 21 and we'll go down to verse 32. Verse 21 of Jeremiah 23. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. So remember Paul talking about those wolves entering in? Well, God is saying in verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. So, what does God want the people of God to do? To hear his words. And not only that, that they do something when they hear the word of God, that, as it says there, turn them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. In other words, the word of God is very important to build people up so that they go away from or turn away from doing the wrong thing to doing the right thing, praise the Lord. Something we must keep in mind. And he's saying if they'd been true prophets, if they'd been true preachers or ministers, this is what they would have been doing. They would have caused my people to hear my words. Hear my words. A word of grace which is able to build you up. Praise the Lord. Feed the flock. Verse 23 says, am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Did not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Look, the fact is that we should be completely honest with God. We should say, Lord, you come into the house of God, you say, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. I want to be built up. And I want to do your word. And if there's anything in my heart that needs to be dealt with, Lord, reveal it to me and I will repent of it and get it out. We've been talking about walking in the light of God on Sundays and we've been talking about how darkness is sin. Sin is darkness. And that we should confess our sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, praise the Lord. So God wants us to understand that no one can hide themselves from God, so it's no use even trying. No one should think, well, God will wink at that. You know, look, the fact is that all sin is deadly. All sin is deadly. And it's darkness. You don't want darkness in your life. You want to rely on the Lord Jesus Christ because he says, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Rely on him to keep his commandments, to keep his word. Praise the Lord. Let's continue on. Verse 25 says, I have heard what the prophets said, that they prophesy lies in my name. You know, I think of all the lies in the modern versions being spoken out now. Well, that's coming out, and it's causing a destruction amongst people. The prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. Verse 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbour, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. You know, one of the interesting things is that the Bible, King James Bible, very clearly shows the name of God to be Jehovah. That's very clear. But the modern versions are attacking that and taking that away, all that type of thing, cause people to forget the name of God. And there's all types of people thinking, well, Yahweh is the name of God. Not at all. The true name of God is Jehovah. Okay? Now, there is a group calling themselves Jehovah's Witnesses, but that's a lying group. They're not really witnesses of Jehovah. So if ever you meet up with them, call them Russellites, which is the name of based on the name of their founder. If you continue on, let's look here. Verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Chaff and wheat are two different things. Chaff is just rubbish. Wheat is solid food. Okay? If the word of God is spoken faithfully, you have wheat that you can partake of. If you have false versions, false doctrines, false things, lies and so on, you've got chaff. You don't want chaff. You know, and the ministers of God should be speaking the word of God and feeding the people wheat, not chaff. Okay? That's very important to understand. Also, the word of God has power, and verse 29 tells us that. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? It'll burn away the dross, the wrong things in your life, as you allow it to. And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The word of God is like a hammer because, you know, hard-heartedness can be broken apart by the word of God. And sometimes it needs a bit of hammering away by the word of God, breaketh the rock in pieces. So the word of God is like a fire, it's like a hammer. The Bible calls it a sword. It's a food. We saw it's something to feed the people. It's spiritual food. So the word of God is likened to many different things. Yet that illustrates the power of it, and it's food to your inner man, to your heart. So therefore, what you want is you want the word of God to be spoken faithfully, and you want to be fed of wheat and to be edified, not so that you can be just sitting there and doing nothing, but so that you can take the word and do it. Do it. So it's not the word of God is spoken faithfully and then you don't do it faithfully. No, the word of God is spoken faithfully and then you do it faithfully. You obey it. You do what the Lord wants you to do out of it. Praise the Lord. So verse 30 says, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbour. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Is it important not to have lies in your Bible? Who thinks it's not important? Keep your hand down. If you think it's important not to have lies in your Bible, then you want a pure Bible. You want a Bible which is wheat, not chaff, or has any chaff in it. You don't want lies. You don't want error. You want truth. In fact, John 17:17, we won't turn to it, but that says, thy word is truth. It's not error, but truth. Because wheat, spiritually fed to you, is what will strengthen you and build you up. Praise the Lord. Well, we know that there are, as we read before, there are people who are undermining the church. We've read in Jeremiah 23 how they had that problem. That problem hasn't stopped. We read the prophecy that Paul gave, and we saw that in the New Testament Book of Acts churches, they were having that problem too. Do you think that problem has stopped today? Not at all. There is today, there has been that undermining of the Word of God and the undermining of the ministry of feeding the pure Word or the truth of God, the Word of God, faithfully to the people. Well, let's close with having a look at the Word in particular in Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 105. Now we saw before that the word of God is likened to many different things: food, a hammer, a fire, a sword. The sword of the Spirit, it's called. Well, here's another thing that it's likened to as well. Is the word of God important? Well, we saw what Paul said: to commend them to the word of his grace, that it may build you up and give you an inheritance. Yes, if there's something we need to take as precious, and that is the Bible, the truth that's been placed in our hands, we should take it as precious. But we're looking at Psalm 119, verse 105. Notice what it says. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's another thing the word of God is compared to: a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. So you should put it into your heart. What's it going to do? It's going to give you direction. It's going to show you the way to go. That's what a lamp does. It shows the way to go. It lights up your path. Praise the Lord. And so you don't have to be in darkness. None of us have to be in darkness about what God's will is, what the truth is. We don't have to be in darkness or ignorance. What we have to do is respond correctly as the word is preached and taught. Praise God. Let's also look at verse 129 to verse 130 in Psalm 119. Verse 129 says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them." Well, your soul is part of your inner man. Verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." How very important is it to have the word of God? It gives you understanding. It gives you light. Praise the Lord. But it's got to have an entry point into your life. You can't get that entry point if you never hear the word, or if you never read the word, or if you never meditate on the word of God, or if you have all types of weeds going in and the word is only given about a sliver of your time in a whole week, and every other part of your time is taken up on worldly stuff. No, you must make it a priority. You must put priority on it. So verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." Do you long for the word of God? Do you long and pant after, as in great desire for God's word? Well, we should. We should desire it. We should desire it. It should be a great thing to us, a precious treasure. Praise the Lord. Also, and we'll finish with this verse in Psalm 140. Notice what it says here in verse 140 of Psalm 119. "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." Does God want you to love his word? Yes, he does. What's the basis of the love of God's word? That it's filled with lies? That there's a little bit of error in it? No. "Thy word is very pure, therefore," that means on this basis, "therefore thy servant loveth it." And you know, if you have a pure word in your hand, I believe the King James Bible is it, you will love it for its purity. You will know that there's no lies in it. Every word matters. Every man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Praise the Lord. We can partake of the word. We've seen tonight how that if we have the word of God, we should have it coming from the ministers, faithfully spoken and preached and fed to you, and then in your turn you are built up, edified, and you also go out and speak that word faithfully as well. It's not just the ministers of God speaking it faithfully, but every believer should take hold of it and walk with it. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God that you've placed in our hands. We know that it is a precious, wonderful thing, and is not something to be lightly esteemed. And Father, we ask that you take hold of our lives, that you use us for your glory, that you show us what you want us to do. And Lord, I pray that every person here would rise up in you and say, "Lord, I want to do your will. Show me what you want me to do in the name of Jesus." We commit ourselves, we commit our way to you, we commit our thoughts to you, we commit our works to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen.